Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello, greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us in this beautiful, I'm saying really beautiful, Saturday night. And this is Usama with you from the state of Missouri. It is the last program for the month of March, as it is today, March 27 of the year of our Lord, 21. And with me tonight, as usual, our producer and the co-host, the one and only one from Mississippi, Christy Johnson. Hello, Christy, and how are you?
Hey, Usama, I'm doing good, and here I am in the great state of Mississippi, which everyone has dogged out all over the country for years and years, and here we are with many, many of the things that I know other people in other states wish they had, and that is our schools have been open.
Yes.
We don't have a mask mandate anymore. They've lifted all the restrictions from businesses. People are still using common sense. And we passed a law. We passed a law to protect girls' sports. I believe that we'll be seeing other efforts with other conservative states that are making efforts to prevent election fraud in the future. I believe we didn't have any reports of those kinds of things going on here, but you know what? Sometimes the first will be last and the last will be first.
I agree with you.
But thank you, God.
Absolutely. And you know what, Christy? In reality, Florida has been in the same situation where you're at in Mississippi concerning the school, concerning the opening the businesses, and Florida is doing great. And I'm not kidding you. Florida is doing great. And as for the common sense, that is what I have been using the last few months now. When I go to businesses and they want me to. They want me to wear a mask. So I said, ma'am, I'm sorry, man. I cannot wear a mask because I have a CS. And the lady looked at me, was like, look at me, I'm sorry. And they said, okay. So they let me go inside their business without a mask. And then I feel a little bit guilty about when I lie and I said I have a CS. So I go back to them before I leave and I say, by the way, do you know what CS stands for? And they said, no. I said, that's common sense. So I have a CS. I cannot wear a mask because I have a common sense. It's reality, Christy. It is so foolish. That piece of paper you put on your face or this piece of rags, that coronavirus can, the size of the virus can go inside many of the more, filters than this garbage we put on our faces. It's a joke. You have common sense if you think this will protect you or protect anybody else.
Well, you know what is sad, though? I think that we're all realizing, not all, but I think many of us are realizing that all of this was nothing but a fraud in order to allow the Democrat Party to manipulate the way in which elections were conducted in this last presidential election. You know, on the basis of that, and I'm sorry, I believe this virus did not escape from a wet market. You didn't get that from me. Hopefully you saw it's okay.
No.
Anyway, it came from a lab in Wuhan, and it came from China. And I have no evidence that it was deliberately released. But think about this.
Whoa. Excuse me. Let me take it back. it was on purpose because he did not allow the people from that province to travel to anywhere else in China, but they gave them the green light to come to the rest of the world. So that is what I have a problem with.
That part is true. What I'm trying to say is, I'm trying to say that I don't have any evidence, nobody can show any evidence, that they deliberately unleashed this virus. But once it did come out of the lab, then they did allow it to spread everywhere. And so, you know, one of the problems that we see now is the way China, who owns Joe Biden, it's like Joe Biden being told, we got you this election. We did all this stuff. We helped you win this election. Don't sit here and tell us that you're going to take the moral high ground. That's what was happening in Alaska. And you know that Joe Biden has said nothing.
The man is immoral. And he is blackmailed by the Chinese and the Russians and everybody who give him, his brother, his son, money. That is why he should never, never be a president. They should investigate it. China money, Russia money, and every money. If this was Trump, trust me, the chance for him to run for office is zero, slim.
Right.
They would cook him right and left. But, of course, it's not Trump. So it is Biden. And, you know, there's so much garbage coming out of that family. God help us. What are criminals?
Well, it's true, but Usama, you have to realize they couldn't have done this on their own. And so this means there were many people involved in criminal enterprises who are also either protecting themselves or taking a piece of the financial gains that they've gotten illegally and immorally by being in the political world. So this is kind of what I hope you'll allow me to share, and then if you don't agree, you can correct me. This is showing us and should be demonstrating to us that the power of evil, the power of the Antichrist spirit, which is an evil spirit, which leads people away from Christ, which leads them into corruption, which leads them into deception, which leads them into thievery, killing, and everything else, is so powerful in America that this has happened to us. And I think God wants us to see that there are so many men and women who are not moral, ethical people. But most of those are in power. The people who love the Lord have been blind, and they have been very little involved in the governing of our country, and that is the tragedy. Yes, it's a tragedy.
Yes, ma'am. You know, it's amazing. When Mr. Trump appoints 1, 2, 3 Supreme Justice, and all of them are Catholic, I said, why can't we have a conservative, born-again Christian, Baptist or evangelical, or a Lutheran or a Presbyterian, some evangelical Christian. You will not have an evangelical Christian, a born-again believer as a Supreme Justice, but trust me, soon we're going to have a Muslim Supreme Justice. Trust me,
if the Democrats
continue in power and an empty seat, it will be a Muslim guy.
Hey, I don't even know that we don't have one already, but let's just be realistic here. The process of getting to be in a position where the Senate, the Congress, basically the Senate, would approve a justice of the court. Look what they put Kavanaugh through. Look what they put Amy Cohen Barrett through. Look what they did to these people. If you think they would have sat there and said, oh, yeah, let's have an evangelical Christian on the court, it wouldn't have happened. I promise.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
that's true.
we gotta keep in mind that many of the leaders in our Senate, even though they might be claiming to be Republican and conservative, or maybe they're Republican and they claim to be conservative, they're not necessarily godly people. There are some godly men and women in power, but what we see happen to them is they get removed from positions of influence. They're silenced. You know, I watched OAN today, and OAN, which is One American News, they did a little expose on what they have been put through trying to be in the press corps at the White House under Trump. Not because Trump was shutting them out, but the press corps, the other reporters, the other fake news people did everything they could to keep conservative news people out of the press corps at the White House. I didn't know they had – I did not know they had that authority. I thought it was up to the president, but it's not. It's not up to any legislator. It's up to this little group of reporters, and they only want in the ones that are liberal. This was an eye-opener for me. If y'all haven't seen that report with OAN talking about what they went through, their wires were cut. They got kicked out. They had to go outside in a tent on the lawn, which Trump allowed them to do because they wouldn't let him in the room because they would ask real questions of the president.
Well, that is their problem.
They didn't want that to happen.
Why?
Yeah. Evil.
They should never ask real questions. They should fit with everybody else, and that's when they have a chance.
But it doesn't work that way. I'm just saying, for all the things that I am learning, and I think as Christians we need to learn these lessons, there are so many things that are completely outside of the control of any influence from the conservatives in America. And we don't even know how much is lost in terms of our influence, but we need to pay attention to it. So, anyway.
I agree with you. I agree. What else do you have in mind, Christy, for tonight?
Okay, well, I wanted to share a couple of things. Of course, everyone has become aware of the shooting in Boulder, Colorado. You know, I have family that lived in Boulder, Colorado for quite a period of time, and also my mom was born in Denver, so I know a little bit about Colorado in general. But, you know, this attack that happened, some of the stories that we're reading about this is that the law enforcement, unless they've come out with something late today that I didn't hear, they're still trying to look for a motive in this shooting. Now, the other story that is surprising is that this guy has clearly been connected with the Islamic State. He swore allegiance to the Islamic State. Of course, his family, as we always say, said he was mentally ill. That's what's wrong with all of these jihadist Muslims. And the sad thing is they said it was like he was a white supremacist or something, but then all the people that were killed were white. I put their pictures up there and their names up there so people can see who these victims were. They were just innocent Americans. Could have been you or me or anybody. But this is a factor that they haven't reported much on, although one of our friends quoted a report that was written in Boulder by a reporter on staff there. And this report specifies the King Superstore in Boulder calls itself, this is what they call themselves, your one-stop shop for kosher groceries. And so some are actually literally saying it's a Jewish store. This is where Jewish people go to shop for their groceries. Now, I would guess that since this is how they advertise themselves, this man, who's a Muslim, probably knew about this. And Passover is starting tomorrow. You know, people go and buy supplies for Passover. They would go on Thursday. They would go early in the week. They don't wait till Friday or Saturday to do that because it's a Sabbath. So I don't know if there's a connection, but I do think this man probably knew that. and targeted those mm-hmm. people because of it. What do you think, Usama?
Well, here's the problem. Years ago, when a Muslim man performed their duty before Allah and Muhammad, we used to have the logic and the common sense, and we know what is the motive, especially when they shouted, Allahu Akbar.
Right.
Now, under Obama's 8 years, we come up with this all different names because it is not politically correct for a man like Nidal Malik Hassan, Major Nidal Malik Hassan, to shoot and kill 13 people and wounded 35 more. It is not legal. It's not legal to say that he did it as a jihad, even though he shouted Allahu Akbar. So we come up with a new name, which is workplace violence. Okay? Mm-hmm. And now we will come up with all the reasons, what is the motive, and we do not know what is the motive. And case after case after case, the history is written 300 times, and we do not know the motive. So you're hitting on something very important. That place, that supermarket, serves halal food for the Jewish people. That itself is an alarm sign for that young man. As for the excuse we're going to give to him that he's mentally ill or he's poor or he's uneducated or he misunderstood the Quran, we get sick and tired of it. This is a dumb old excuse, and the American people need to wake up. And I said again, wake up before it's too late. Because if they're going to cover up every Muslim attack in America, and I'm amazed, Christy, when the Muslims in America are complaining hundreds and hundreds of cases of, they call it harassment, or they call it religious persecution, or they call, I mean, we're talking about hundreds of cases.
Yes.
Even though the number of Muslims who were killed because they were Muslim is zero. Let me say it again, zero. And from September 11 until today, we got hundreds of American people killed by the Muslims, hundreds in America by the Muslims. And we still do not know the motive. And why can't the American, atheist, agnostic, Jew, Christian, Buddhist, whatever the religion, why can't we do the same thing? And we rise up and say, enough is enough. No more shooting for Muslims. I don't want to hear any of this stupid excuse about why you don't know the motive. The motive is he believe in Allah, and Allah said kill the infidels.
Yes, and who are the infidels, Usama? Does the Quran tell us that?
Sure, all the Jews, all the Christians, everyone and everyone who does not say the Shahada. Our blood is lawful to be shed by the hand of the Muslims. Sharia teaches that. The Quran teaches that. Allah's word. Muhammad taught and practiced that. It's reality. That's what's coming to our life. We just have to get used to it. They're crazy. They're poor. They're uneducated. They misunderstand the Quran. Why we do not know the motive? Really? Are you out of your mind? I think you're crazy not to know the motive.
Well, you know, I think that people are suspicious of the motive. His Facebook page was taken down almost immediately. One of the hosts on Real America's Voice, Raheem Kassam, had screenshot the Facebook page. But a lot of it was written in Arabic. It was from the Quran. He doesn't read Arabic. Of course, I'm trying to connect you up with him so that, you know, you could look at that page and see what it said. But he said almost just a few seconds after he got, he archived the page, he said, whoop, they've taken it down. So
here's another thing. I was talking to Brother Jim Schneider from BCY, and I said, what is that? What is that? When Muslims do their dirty work, immediately they clean up their pages, their media pages, like Facebook or whatever tweet they send. We should not allow this to happen anymore. If somebody commit a crime, they should never close their media. We need to know everything about that person from their own handwriting. I mean, it's not like somebody come to my website and write things about me I disagree with. Christy, if I did something wrong, I want the whole world to go to the straightway.org and investigate everything I said and every video I put and every book I wrote and every article I wrote. I mean, they need to know who I am from my own page. Why you shut down people bases when they commit a crime in the name of Allah? Why are we doing that? What
well,
is
you
the purpose except covering up for the crime?
Well, you know what's interesting is I'm sure that they also, and rightly so, they want to investigate and see if there was anyone else involved in this or if there's any connection to other crimes.
You can freeze the site but not close it. Let the whole world see what's in it.
Well, I understand that, Usama. I agree with you. We need to know this, but it seems like when they do this and they close this stuff down, it's not the only thing they do. Do you remember when this man's name came out, and they still haven't got it right? His name is Al-Isa. It's Ahmed Al-Isa, and they're calling him Alyssa. So, you know, they...
Alyssa.
It's like you don't want it to sound Muslim. So if I say somebody's name is Alyssa, you know what I mean?
That's American
like,
guy. That's American
well, some
guy.
Some American
for sure.
guy
that's
with
him.
A weird name. So we
yeah.
know that there was they didn't want to tell you his name, Ahmed. As soon as you say
yeah.
Ahmed, and you realize all
it's
Isa.
It's over.
You know.
And this did
it's
not
a Muslim
Christy,
guy.
Christy. And this did not start until Obama came to power. Under Bush, we saw the name.
Uh-huh.
It was written. And everybody knows
oh, yeah.
it's a Muslim guy. But after Obama became a president and his name is Barack Hussein Obama, he does not actually use his own middle name, Hussein, like he did later after he became a president. They don't want to mention the name Hussein. So they're removing the name Hussein from the fight. And they don't, from that moment on, every crime committed by Muslims, they did not tell the name, they drag it, they give it other reasons, the crazy and the poor and uneducated and the misunderstood the Quran.
You know, I love
it. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm sick and tired
I know,
of
but
it.
I love the fact that years and years ago, we put together that presentation and we listed the four reasons they would always claim that Muslims commit jihad, why they commit violent crimes. And we listed them. And every time now, so far, it's always been one of the four. Wherever it takes place
to.
In the world, it's always one of these four. In America, the favorite one is he's crazy. He's mentally ill.
Yeah. And you know what's amazing, Christy? When I did also, I know you helped me with lies and textbooks. You did help me. We have this also written in the lies. I'm not kidding you. So let me share with you here. Where is my presentation? Live textbooks. I'm going to show you what they said about. I just used this actually today in my presentation, which I do in Arabic with Christian from all over the Arab world, and it's I've been doing this now for almost 4 months. I'm having great time to minister to the Christian Arab, and they are shocked. They're physically shocked that we have these lies taught to our children in our public schools. I'm going to read to you something here. No, that's going to be in Arabic. Let me get over the other one. I apologize. I opened
okay.
the wrong one.
You know, I
because
won't understand it if
this,
you
this,
tell it
well,
to me in Arabic, except one or two words
well,
here and there.
Well, good luck to figure out. And everybody else will not understand me. Okay, so let's go here. I'm going to share with you. And I was literally, I was like, wait a minute. They're teaching that to our children in our public schools in America. And I've been talking about this for quite some time. It's like, here it is. It's in our textbook since 2004 or 2005. I apologize. You can talk for a minute, Christy, until I get it.
Okay. Well, one of the things that we're going to do is this is a history of this gentleman. Gentlemen, you always use that term. This man, a young man, but he came to the United States as a child, as an immigrant, as a refugee from Syria. And when they were bringing all these refugees here from Syria, Usama, we were talking about how strange it was and dangerous it was that the refugees that were coming from Syria were all Muslims when it was the Christians
yeah.
in Syria being persecuted. And that's when this
sure.
young man came. because of what was going on. So this is a product of bringing in, like they said, oh, we're bringing in all these children. We're bringing in all these immigrants. And, yeah, this is open a door wide for terrorists to enter into our country. Anyway, go ahead, Usama. You found it?
Yeah, I'm on it right now. It is one of the lies, which is lies about terrorism. And, I mean, I can read all of them, but I need to get to that one about education. About education. One example, Russia. Okay, Muslims have not communicated their religious beliefs to the moral Muslim. No, no, not that one. Okay, here we go. Some analysts say this that terrorism is rooted in the clash of modern and Islamic cultures. They argue that because many states in the former Ottoman Empire did not modernize along Western Muslims have not accomplished their religious beliefs. Not this one. Here we go. Other analysis noted note that the Christians and Muslims have viewed each other with hostility since the time of Crusades. Others suggested that, listen to this, Christy, others suggested that poverty and ignorance lie at the door of the modern, the problem extremists find it is easy to strike up. Here we go. Poverty and ignorance. Money and education. And
we always said they're poor.
Christy.
Yes.
World History, Modern Time, Glinko, 2006, on page 24 and 25. Here's what they teach our children about the school.
Yeah,
financial and education.
Yeah, they always said they're poor, they're uneducated, they're mentally ill, or they've misunderstood the Quran, they've misunderstood Islam. So, yeah, this is what we've
said, this is what they're teaching.
Yeah. Sure. It's ridiculous.
But once again, we have to emphasize that there are plenty of Christian, Jews, atheists, agnostics, Buddhists, Hindus, name it. There are plenty of religions out there. Plenty of cultures there. Plenty of these people who are poor, much poorer than any Muslim can be, because, by the way, most terrorists are rich. Most terrorists are educated. They have, they can fly an airplane, they're an engineer, they're doctors, they're lawyers, they're big business owners. I mean, for heaven's sake. But on the other hand, we got plenty of the rest of the people of the world who are uneducated, who are very poor, and none of them commit the terrorist activities of the Muslims.
Yes, that is very important to understand.
So in reality, Christy, if mental ill is a problem, we should see it happening all over the world to all people who are mentally ill. That makes sense. If education has something to do with it, all uneducated people should have the same, with a little bit of percentage wise. If financial poor people or uneducated people, I mean, these excuses only fit with Muslims. Why does not fit with the rest of the world?
Well, you know, this is why these actions that take place, they're always dismissed. You know, last week we talked about a man who was wandering around carrying his daughter's decapitated head and went into a police station. But he confessed that he did this. But in Islam, this would be an honor killing. So it's justifiable.
Sure.
This is
That's not crazy. That's not, here's the deal. Honor killing in Islam has nothing to do with education, have nothing to do with riches, have nothing to do with mental illness, have nothing to do with misunderstanding the Quran. As a matter of fact, that's perfectly practicing the teaching of Allah in the Quran. That's why we have in the book of Reliance of the Traveler, as one of the law written in Arabic and in English, approved by the Al-Azhar University, honor killing is practice of Islam. It is Islam. A theology, it is Islam practice. So don't you dare tell me, not you, Christy, anybody else, no Muslim or stupid Democrat out there can tell me that honor killing have something to do with culture or any other excuse, because it is Islam practice. Like you go to church and you lift up your hand to the heaven and you pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done. When you do the Heavenly Father prayer, it's exactly like you cut your daughter's head off. That's exactly same thing, the practice of religion.
Yeah, you know, this is really sad too, because what we're seeing is a rise in the emboldening of the enemies of America. We've got North Korea, who is absolutely insulting the Biden administration, launching missiles again. They don't want to meet with him, and they don't want to talk to him. We've got Russia, and
you know what? Whoa, before you get to Russia, I am glad he's not meeting with them, because trust me, if he meet with them, most likely he will send them $200-300 billion, and he will give them what they need to make quiet and finish the bomb. I'm glad. Praise God that he's not going to meet with North Korea, because if he meet with North Korea, it will be exactly the same deal we did with Iran, except double money. That man does not have a brain. He does not have logic. Praise God.
Well, now we're coming up with this alliance that's developed between Iran, Russia, and China. So we can see more and more hostility, more of those who are enemies of America now looking at our country as being weakened and taking a weakened position. China made that very clear. But also, Joe Biden is now planning to return to the policy of sending financial aid to the Palestinian Authority. So we cut off that money because they are paying terrorists to kill Jews in Israel. Every time one of them commits a terrorist act, they are paid. Their family is paid. So
because
Trump
it is Islamic teaching, Christy. You have to understand what the Muslim Palestinians are doing to support the family of the man who are willing to commit suicide for Allah. The suicider bombers, somebody has to kill their family. And the money was given throughout the Quran. You got 11 verses, those who perform jihad with their life and their money. So somebody has to pay for those who are willing to die for Allah. It's very normal. It is practicing Islamic ideology.
Yeah, so here we are with Trump saying, we're cutting their money off. We're cutting the money off. And Biden, you see, just like he has such a big heart to open up our southern border to whoever wants to come through, and inviting the surge of the border, which he did, that was his own words, you know, he's also paying the Palestinians to terrorize, basically, put the money back in their pockets so they can build more bombs and commit more terrorist acts against Israel. So we're seeing it's like a den of snakes. You can't even keep track of everything that is being done that is destructive to America, to our Christian friends and our allies. It's hard to keep track of everything that's being done.
Christy, Democrats, I don't care who is going to be there. It's worse. It's much worse to be a liberal Jew, a Democrat Jew, than to be a Muslim in my book, because these people hate Israel. The Democrats hate Israel. Kamala Harris' husband is a wicked liberal Jewish man. If you make him a president, trust me, he will bomb Israel. Like George Soros is a Jewish man. George Soros will bomb Israel at any time. He will support Palestinians with millions and millions of dollars.
But these are not people who believe in the God of the Bible. They don't believe in the God of Israel. So they, it's like a lot of people who in America have turned against Christianity and decided that, you know, it's all foolishness and stupidity to believe in God, and they want Christianity out of our schools, which it is, and they want the prayer at school banned, and they want abortion on demand, whatever it is. But let me read to you, because I want to, I know you've got other stuff you want to share tonight. Ted Cruz took 18 GOP senators and took them down to the border.
Excuse me, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
And they found the conditions there were terrible. Remember, they wouldn't allow reporters there. So when these senators went down, these were the first pictures that were coming out. And the comments are that they had designed these holding places for children. And who in the world would encourage children to come unaccompanied across the border? Is there anyone in their right mind who cares anything about children that would encourage that? Oh, well, that's
Christy,
your Biden administration.
But here's the fact. These children are going to bring the risk of the family. Trust me. Under the Democrats, the brothers and the sisters and the moms and the dads and the cousins, they're all coming.
Yeah.
That door will never be shut down until you get rid of the Democrats. Go ahead.
I understand that, Usama, but I'm trying to tell you also that these young kids are also coming across the border with people who are using them to get in. Because if you bring a child with you, you can enter in with that child, okay?
Sure.
So these kids are being sold into basically virtual slavery, and many of them are being trafficked. So we have parents who are letting their kids come up here because of just what you're saying, believing, okay, my kid's going to be up there, then I'll be able to get up there, all the family be able to get up there. That may or may not be true in every case, but in every case, they don't know who they're turning their kid over to come through the border with. And many of these children have been neglected, molested. Some of them are coming sick. So they have these pods, they're calling them. They're supposed to hold 80 kids. And they got like 700. So these teachers and these kids sleeping together. I mean, they're crammed into these small rooms. They have some children, when they test positive for COVID, they separate them out. But then they're calling these children anyone under 18. So we also see tons and tons of teenage boys. But the fact is, many of these teenage boys are not teenagers at all. They are young men, maybe in their early 20s.
Yeah.
So it's
well,
just,
you cannot
it's
figure
ridiculous.
Out if you live to Indonesia or if you travel to Indonesia and have been there, a lot of the kids there, you think they're 14, 15, they're actually in their 20s and 30s. I'm not kidding you. 30 years old look like 12, 14, 15 years old. So there is no way coming from some other country. The Mexican people, they don't look their age. You do not know their age. They're all small. They're all, many of them are small, skinny. So they don't look like a big boy or a big young lady, but they are.
Yeah, and we know that last year, do you remember, it might not have been last year, it may have been 2 years ago, they were talking about the MS-13 gang members. And Nancy Pelosi was so sympathetic for them. Trump was running them out. That is another aspect of what could be coming across the border as young children, young men under the age of 18, MSN gang members. And we see this problem. We had a boy in a school, in a high school, who was there as a teenager, sexually assaulted and murdered a girl in the restroom, in the girl's restroom. And then they come to find out he's in his 20s and he's a MS-13 gang member.
Christy, but here is the truth. If you come in this country without any paper, you can say whatever you want to say about yourself.
Exactly.
I mean, I will not be surprised that some Muslim from some other country in the world who can speak Spanish, who lived in Mexico for a year or two or three or five, but they can learn Spanish in Egypt. They can learn Spanish in Yemen. They can learn Spanish. And they look Spanish as they come to this country and they say, my name is Jose Valaz. Jose Valaz. How old are you, Jose? I'm 12 years old. He may be 22. He said 12. How are you going to argue with him?
Yeah.
No, you're not Jose. How do you know I'm not Jose? Well, you don't look like Jose. I speak Spanish. I'm Jose. It's over.
Well, I absolutely, I know that this is not good for anyone. It is not good for America. It is not good for the people who are coming over. And I'm not saying all of these people are coming with the idea of doing damage to our country. But Joe Biden invited these people, and they're saying that. And why are they inviting these people? Because they want to give them a better life, or because they want them to be dependent on the government, receiving benefits and having an income dependent on them voting for Democrats from now on?
Exactly.
That's
you got
exactly
the whole
where they're going.
The
yeah,
Democrat loves, okay, here's the deal. Democrat loves the illegal because they're going to be a vote machine for them in the near future. They will not be able to steal every election. In the future, the Americans are going to rise up and say enough is enough. Then they have to vote. They have to win with the right vote. How are they going to win the right vote? They're going to change some of the law to allow these people to become citizens or to allow them to vote. And it's coming to a city near you. The Democrats
know
their time is short, and they're doing everything they can to destroy this country in the shortest time possible. Shortest time possible.
Well, you know, this is true. And so what you also see is that many in the Hispanic and other minority communities who've traditionally been Democrats have turned on the Democrat Party. And many of them are complaining. And these cities that are being targeted along the border, the people who live there may have immigrated also from Mexico or other South American countries, but they do not want illegals coming into their communities. This is going to destroy jobs. And
let me ask you a question.
Some idiot.
I agree with you. Let me ask you a question. Have you seen in the 4 years when Mr. Trump was in the White House, any of these people come into this country illegally with a shirt says, please, Mr. Trump, let me in? Have
no.
you seen that shirt?
No, I haven't.
You know why? You know why? Because they know he's not going to let them in.
Well,
because
that
they know that the chance for them to come illegal to this country is impossible. Okay?
Right.
Now they know what they're doing, and Mr. Biden will let them in because they're going to say, I'll help you out next time when you need my vote.
You know, the other problem is that all of these things, like I said, it's like a nest of snakes. We're going to change the voting law. They're trying to do everything. I hope and pray that those who are honest, God-fearing, political representatives in our country are going to do everything they can to stop this stuff, to file against.
Let me say, when you say honest, are you talking about any Democrat honest?
You know what? I'm going to tell you what. I don't know the heart of everybody. There is no liberal that
they
is going to do anything honest.
They are evil parties.
You saw that? I know that. I know that. But I'm not disputing that. What I'm saying is if they are honest, I don't have to put a label on anyone. Maybe they're independent. But the point is, whatever you are, maybe there's a Republican, and they're evil too. I'm talking about anyone who is honestly there to represent this country instead of their own interest and lining their own pocket, which is what has become of our political representatives. They have access to so much money, so much bribery, so much that they can collect if they make the right deal for the right organization. And so we're seeing the corruption is unbelievable in Washington, D.C. But there are some people who have some integrity. And it doesn't matter what party they are. If you love America, you need to stand up and stop this stuff, because the people that you represent, you're selling them into slavery. And that is what is going to happen to many of those who live in this country. Will be looking around and going, wow, I got a $1,400 check. I got a $600 check. Gee, that's $2,000. But my gas and Buttigieg wanting to tax people for the number of miles they drive, you know, how are people going to have any benefit from the money that's being sent? The interest rates are going to go up. He's charging you by the mile on your car. What a wonderful head of transportation Biden picked. He's an idiot.
Yeah.
And
sure.
I'm sorry.
Sure.
So are all the people that he's picked that I've looked at. I don't know why he's picked them, except he's got the most diversified cabinet ever, including a transgendered person who is promoting the idea of hormonal treatments for children to suppress their development of the gender they are because they think they're a different gender. Who wants to do this to kids? I'm going to tell you what, some parents do want to do it, but let me tell you, the day you wake up and go, dear God help us, is when you have a kid, the school wants to have their gender changed, and you don't want that, and they have more power than you. That's where all this is going. You're going to have no power as an American citizen if this keeps up. And so we keep praying because God knows what's going on. Yeah. Anyway,
yes,
you're absolutely
right. Yeah.
The other
Before you do, I have to share something about my personal family. I got some family members who are trying to come to America. And for some technicalities, they have to go back to the embassy in Cairo so they can make this interview so they can come. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, since Corona, the embassy is closed. Now they have the appointment in September. I'm sorry, no. August, September, the ninth month. In September, these family members are going to go to the embassy for the interview. Can you imagine now with me, Christy? They've been waiting for 2 years almost for the interview, and they are now allowing them to go in September. I said, and maybe I said this last week, but I repeat myself. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
For him, for the first time. I said, you know what? Forget about the interview. Just come to Mexico, man. On the border, walk to the border, fly to the Mexico. They have money. They can have somebody buy car, get them to the border. At the border, see some American policemen or American border people and say, hey, where's the shirt?
Yeah.
Biden let me in. Trust me. I need to go to Missouri to see my uncle or my nephew or my cousin, whatever I related to them, because they're different ones. And they'll bring you by the bus all the way until my house. And you will be coming without any more expense on you, and you don't have to work the rest of your life because Uncle Biden will get you in, and Uncle Biden will take care of you. This is how stupid it is. 2 years for interview, or just walk to the Mexican border.
Yeah, you have mentioned this before. You saw I think some people think you're actually doing that.
Doing that, but I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about doing it for real. How about that?
You said it here. One of the things that I wanted to also share is this immigration problem, because it is a slap in the face to the people who are trying to come to the country legally.
Yep.
It's
good luck.
It's pathetic.
Good luck coming to this country. Yes, it's sad. It's a sad story. Yeah.
Well,
it's
and
a lot of people
who've come here legally are fearful of just nothing. There's nothing required. You know, if they want to give the vote to illegal aliens, and they want to not call them that anymore. One of the problems with that, and we talked about it before, it was a big controversy about Obama. And one of the things that we talked about is if your family and your heritage and everything else is from another country, then you have allegiances to foreign countries. That's what we're seeing now. When you see people, you know, who are hostile to the America, where they're now living here free. This is people like Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, even who's first generation here, born. But they have their preferences for the other country. And you've always said, which is so crazy, if you had to flee your country because it was so bad, why do you want to turn America into your bad country? You know?
That's a good question. The first thing they do after they come to America is they want to make America Egypt. I said, if you hate Egypt that much, why do you want to change America to Egypt? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, why come
you
here?
You want to keep everything about Egypt. Stay in Egypt, man. Die in Egypt. Rot in Egypt. No.
Well, there you go. I mean, that is the problem.
They're miserable people.
Yeah. You come to America, you need to be an American. And this is the problem. They don't understand the American government. For them, let's suppose you bring someone into the country, and many other countries, people do get paid or bribed to vote a certain way because we know the corruption of the government. So you just come vote this way, we'll take care of you, blah, blah, blah. You know, and if they hear that in America, well, that's what they're used to. They're not going to sit there and go, well, you know what? That's against the law. You can't be offering me money to vote a certain way. No, that's how it's always been in their life. Oh, I'm going to get paid? In my country, they just vote for me, and I've never been able to vote. Now I'm going to get to vote, and you're going to pay me. You're just going to tell me who to vote for. That's what
exactly.
happens.
Exactly. Exactly. It is unbelievable.
God help America.
Have no problem to scratch the back of the third world people to bring them to America, and that they will also scratch the back of the liberals and vote for them. It is sick. What's happening in America is physically, mentally, spiritually sickness.
Well, here's that article. I'm just reading the headline. China and Iran are expected to sign a 25-year accord, the Iranian state media says. So, isn't this nice? China and Iran are now cozying up together. Just what we need. Anyway, Usama, I think that was most of the things I wanted to talk about, except to say I want people to make the connection between the danger of this unfiltered, just open, wide border to immigration and the connection to the dangers of Islam.
It is sick, Christy. I don't think American people realize what's happening. And the sad thing, the media is not talking about it. People do not watch TV. And if they're listening to CBS or CNN or SMSNBC and all this garbage, they will never hear what we're talking about here. They
no, I know.
They're compassionate. They're helping the poor people. How can you be a Christian and don't be compassionate, for heaven's sake?
Well, that was the other thing that I wanted to mention, because I've said this a couple of times. As Christians, in order to love other people, are we just supposed to accept everything as being okay? You know, do we accept racism, socialism, communism, perversions? Everything. Are we just supposed to accept everything, or are we supposed to be salt and light in the world?
Well,
we
the problem is these are not Christian, Christy. These are not Christians. These are liberal theologians who believe in liberal theology, which has nothing to do with Christianity. They are just picking up verses from the Bible and try to shove it in our throat in misunderstanding, out of context, to say, well, Jesus said. Like I saw yesterday, not that day, 3 days ago, the sign, Jesus said, welcome the refugees. Did Jesus say that? I looked at the Bible, Christy. I could not find the verse. Jesus says, welcome the refugees.
Yes, I know. Nancy Pelosi was even trying to quote from the Bible to justify what's going on.
Nancy Pelosi pray before they give the money to the abortion clinics, and she also pray and read the Bible about bringing the illegal to America, especially if they're Muslim from the Muslim world. And they also pray about passing all the laws and destroying our constitution, because that is prayer to the devil, not to Jesus Christ, to the God of the Bible.
Maybe you haven't seen Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. They believe that abortion is a Catholic value. Now, hearing a few people who are Catholic saying that isn't true. But, you know, these are the people in leadership. So Catholics,
She may be claimed to be a Catholic, but he's not a Catholic. I think he's a Jew, wasn't he?
It doesn't matter. I'm trying to say he has supported this movement. I don't even know what he is. But the point I'm saying is, if you're a Catholic and abortion is not your value, you need to start taking these people to task. You need to start writing to these leaders in Washington, D.C., and say, like Joe Biden, what he's doing. Oh, he's a good Catholic. I'm sorry. No, he isn't. And even some of the bishops are coming out and saying, no, these things are not acceptable to Catholics. I'm glad they're standing up and saying something. Do I agree with everything the bishops or Catholics say? No, but at least they're taking a stand and saying, no, I'm sorry, don't tell me this is what Catholics believe and that this is a good value of Catholics. It isn't. They took Joe Biden to task, and I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Exactly.
We got to get more people to do that. Anyway, Usama, I think, I kind of covered most of what I wanted to talk about. Let me take a look real quick, because there might have been something else I wanted to mention.
Sure.
Nope, I think that was everything I had on the agenda for now. Let's go to you're going to teach
good.
Things tonight, right?
Praise God. Let's move on to our study. Is the Quran a true revelation, as Muslims claim, from Allah? Maybe. If Allah is Satan, yes, indeed. But if not, then if they think Allah is God, then they got the whole thing wrong. Today I want to concentrate on one of the chapters of the Quran to prove my point that the Quran is not a revelation from God, but actually the Quran is a counterfeit. Not counterfeit. Actually, in chapter 18 here, the right word is say is a copy book.
Plagiarized.
That's the right word. Plagiarism.
Yes.
Plagiarized. Muhammad was copying from every book he can get. Now, in chapter 18, it's called the Book of the Cave. The Book of the Cave. There's some talk he said earlier, and then he moved to three stories. The first one is the cave. People. The second one is the prophet, the green prophet. And then the third one, which is Alexander the Great, the Zulkarnain. The prophet is called Zulkarnain. So if you got
but
the Quran
say
over
that
15,
again, that he is, this is a story about Alexander the Great, right? Where he's supposed to be a prophet, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
yes,
just wanted to make that clear.
We're going to get, we'll cover them one at a time. You see how much time we have here? Hopefully we can cover them. Okay, so I know it is a 110 verse, Christie's, and you're going to do a lot of reading here. So go ahead. Let's read chapter 18, verse 1 and 2, 3 and 4. The first four verses, just read the whole four verses for me.
Okay. Praise be to Allah, who has sent down the book on his servant and has not made in it crookedness. Value to warn of a grievous woe from him and to give the believers good news, those who do good deeds, that they will have an excellent wage wherein they will dwell forever. And he warns those who said, Allah has taken a son.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Good. So first verse, Allah sent the Quran on Muhammad. Once again, similar idea. Muslims say that the Quran is a revealed book. Revealed from who? Revealed from Allah. Now, in that book, verse 2, there is warning and there's good news. The warning to those who, of course, will not believe it, and the good news for those who believe it. And they have to, of course, do good works, and they will have a reward from Allah. Now, they will be rewarded there in the paradise of Muhammad. They will live there forever. And the warning is to whom? To the Christians who believe that Allah has a son, his name is Isa, son of Mary, or to the Jews who believe that Allah has a son, his name is Azra. And as I mentioned before, the Quran declared that Jews and Christians are polytheists, mushrikeen, because they partner Azra or Isa with Allah, which is obviously a lie, because there is not one Jew ever, ever believed in Azra or Azir to be the son of Allah, but Christian only, the only one who believes that Jesus is son of God, God Almighty, who came in the flesh. So these are the first four verses. Now, let's move on. Christy, go ahead, bless me. Bless me with the next four verses.
Okay. They have no knowledge of this, neither their fathers, a dreadful word to come out of their mouths that they say except a lie. So perhaps you will kill yourself on the footsteps with sorrow if they do not believe by this saying. Surely we have made all this on the earth as an adornment for it so that we may test them to see which of them does the best work. And surely we are about to reduce what is on it to dust.
Amen and amen and amen. Once again, Allah said in verse 4, the warning is for those Jews, Christians, who believe Azra is the son of Allah or Jesus is the son of Allah, the Christ of son of Mary. He said, they are doing that from their own head. They have no knowledge of it. These are just arrogant hearts they got, arrogant lips, and they're saying stuff which is just nothing but a lie. And Muhammad, don't kill yourself over it. They will not believe in you because it's a sorrowful thing. Now, in verse 7, Allah is telling us that he made this world with the adornment on it. You know, the riches, the things you get, your homes, your cars, your airplane, whatever you got, your boat. Allah allows this to be as a temptation for the people to see who's going to do what's right or who's going to do wrong. And then Allah said that there is the punishment here. He will destroy everything on the earth. Okay? Good. So far, I'm not really learning so much a good lesson or a good message or a revelation, except it's repeated ideas from many, many other chapters all over the Quran. So now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start in verse 9 to move on to the first story. The first story which Muhammad is going to mention. We got three stories, okay? We'll talk about why this chapter 18 is called the cave. The name of the chapter, the cave, is result of what Christy Johnson is about to read in verse 9 down. Now we have a bold statement there, Christy. Would you please bless me and read to me what do we have in the bold statement before verse 9?
The story of several sleepers is copied from a 5th century myth which was taken from a Greek book, The Glory of the Martyrs, Book 1, Chapter 95, by Gregory, Bishop T.
Good.
Of Tours.
Good, good. Georgius. His name is Georgius. Gregory Georgius. Okay. So now we know, ladies and gentlemen, where the story we're about to read come from. It did not come from Allah, as Allah said in verse 1. Chrissy, do me a favor. Read verse 1 again. What did Allah say in verse 1?
Okay, hold on. Verse 1 says, the praise be to Allah who has sent down the book on his servant and has not made in it crookedness.
Allah is telling me the praise be to Allah, which itself is an oxymoron. If Allah will tell me the praises be to Allah, he should say the praises be to me, not to Allah. It's like, who's speaking here? It cannot be Allah's word. If Allah says the praise be to Allah, that means that's not Allah. There's somebody else. All praises be lift up to me. All praise lift up to me. That's how you should say it. But that's okay. Allah sent that chapter, that book we're reading right now, Quran chapter 18 on Muhammad, and there's no crookedness. It's perfect. It's straight. It is straight shot. Okay, Christy? Now, we found out from verse 9, what we're reading here, that story is actually a made-up story.
Mm-hmm.
It's not true biblical. It did not happen. It did not ever take place. It's like me making up a story with you, Christy. I went there, I did this, and I did this, and did that, and I made up a story. And you say, are you sure it's not? I said, no, I just made it up. And then a couple hundred years later, or 300 years later, Muhammad heard the story or read the story in some material, and he put it in his Quran, even though you and I know I made it up. It is
right.
Not a true story. No Christian ever believed in the cavemen. The sleepers who slept in the cave, okay? So, go ahead now, read to me verse 9.
Or did you think that the companions of the cave and the Al-Rakim were of the wonders of our signs? What is Al-Rakim?
What does the word Rakim mean? Because look down in the footnotes there, tell me. What is this word Rakim?
I'm going to have
because
to go many pages away.
That's okay. Well, there's only 110 pages. I mean, 110 verses. Five pages. I'll pray for you. Lord Jesus, bless my dear sister Christy. Help her to turn the pages on the computer and be able to find the word Arakim. Go ahead.
Okay, hold on.
What is the word Arakim? Yes, ma'am.
Okay, just a second. I lost where I was.
That's okay. Ar-Rakim.
Yeah, I got it. I'm having to scroll back and forth. So hold on a second.
Okay.
I have it.
No
a word without meaning. A word without meaning. Nobody knows what it is.
So the word of Allah is not actually perfect word. It is not crooked. It is straight. How can straight? We got a word. We have no idea what it means. The word Rakim. Muslim scholars do not know what it means, unless they're going to make up a meaning for it. Because there's no word in Arabic that's called Ar-Rakim. Okay? So, now Muhammad is receiving revelation from Allah about the companion of the cave. Those who live in the cave. Ashab al-Kahf is the owner of the cave or the one who lives in the cave. And now we're going to learn about the miracle of the signs of Allah in concerning these young men. So, go ahead. First thing.
When the young men took refuge in the cave, so they said, "Our Lord, grant us mercy from you and prepare a right course for us in our affair."
Of course, if you read the verse like that, Christy, you're lost now. You don't know what Allah's talking about. Why these young men would take a refuge in a cave? I mean, was it because it was raining so hard, lightning? They took refuge in the cave because there were somebody running after them. Like I see, I've been watching lately some black and white cowboy movies and shooting. So there were people running after them, and they start shooting them with guns and bullets, and they run to take a refuge. What is the story? Oh, the story was, according to Muslim scholar, obviously, according to the story of the Georgius book, the real story, which is written. It's made up. It's not real, Christy. Let me say it again. It's not that story is written up by a guy to teach us a good lesson at the time of persecution. That these young men were Christians, and they were persecuted for being a Christian. So they don't want to sin against God. They don't want to sin against Jesus. They want to live right before God. So they went inside the cave and said, "We're not going to deny Jesus. We're going to live right before God. We're going to honor Christ in our life. And we're not going to deny Christ and Christianity. And we just go and go inside the cave." So they went inside the cave and they went to sleep. Hopefully, the Lord Jesus will answer their prayer. And in the following morning, when they wake up, God will give them some guidance about what to do. Because they don't want to deny Jesus. And they were persecuted. And the bad people were killing the Christians. And gives them a hard time. Okay? Now, go ahead and read.
I want to make clear, because I'm a little confused, so I'm asking a question to clarify. What you just told me, Is that what the Muslim scholars are saying, or is this what was in the original book that was stolen from?
It is in the book which was copied from.
But it's not in the Quran.
It's a story. It's, no, no. It's
I
a made-up story to help us to learn a lesson about life. Go ahead.
Okay, that's what it was about, but now here's how the Quran is using this
story. The Quran will not tell you. The Quran will not tell you. You will never know.
Exactly.
Okay.
It never does. So we struck on in their ears in the cave for many years. Then
So they went to sleep in the cave, waiting for the following morning that God will give them some guidance, but they slept for years.
Yeah.
For years, Christy. We're going to find out later how many, okay? Now, go ahead.
Then we raised them up so that we might know which of the two parties could best discern the time they stayed.
Oh, now they are a quiz. You know how stupid this
we,
is. Allah is giving a quiz. And the quiz is, they went inside the cave, their ears was closed, they never heard anything, they slept for a long time, many years, and now Allah wakes them up. So now there are two groups. We're arguing about how long they've been sleeping. So Allah will say, we're going to do the quiz here. We're going to do a test to see which one of the two groups come up with the right answer, how many years they've been sleeping inside the cave. Okay, go ahead.
We will relate to you their news with the truth. Surely they were young men who believed in their Lord, and we increased them guidance. And
amen. Whoa. One verse at a time. Don't rush me. You're going to make me nervous. Now, Allah is telling Muhammad, I'm going to tell you, Muhammad. Write it down, young man. Write it down, okay? I'm going to tell you the information. What's the truth? I'm not lying to you, Muhammad. See, Muhammad and Allah does not know that story is made up. But somehow, Allah thought it is true, and Muhammad believed it's true, and Muhammad's going to tell us about these young men. These young men were believers. And Allah guided them with more guidance. They were already believers, and add more to their phase of guidance. Okay? Go ahead. Verse 14.
And we tied on their hearts when they stood up. So they said, our Lord is the Lord of heavens and the earth. We will not call any God other than him. Indeed, if we did, then we said a transgression.
Oh, I'm telling you, Christy, these are true boys, believers. They will not listen to the persecutors, the one who persecuting them, because he wants them to worship other God with Jesus, with God. Not Jesus here, according to Muhammad. According to the story, the written story, the made-up story, they will not leave the Christian faith. According to Muhammad, they will not believe that Jesus is Allah or Jesus is the Son of Allah. Because remember what we read earlier?
Yeah.
That it's a lie to believe that Allah have a son. So
right.
Now these are true good Christians who believe, according to Muhammad, they believe in God alone, Allah, but they don't believe Jesus is the Son of Allah, okay? Now, in the true story, they believe, in the true story, which is a made-up story, they believe Jesus is God. And they stick with their Christianity. And they will not deny Christ. And they will be faithful. Okay, keep going. Next verse.
Those our people have taken other gods than him. Were it not that they had brought to them a clear authority? So who is more unjust than one who forged a lie against Allah?
Oh. Now we find out these young men, not only they were believers, but their family, their people, were worshiping other gods. They were the fake Christian, the one who believes Jesus is God, or the fake Jew. But it's sort of course, here it's talking about the Christian because from the original story. Now, and they said, unless they bring us some evidence, some authority, some proof, then they are not telling the truth. And they are lying about Allah, a big lie. All right. Next verse.
And if you separate from them and what they serve except Allah, So take refuge in the cave. Your Lord will unfold his mercy to you and will prepare a way for your affair.
So now Allah is speaking to these young men. It's okay. Separate from your family, separate from your folks, and worship Allah alone, and go inside the cave, and Allah will provide you with mercy, and Allah will take care of you. Just go and stay in the cave, okay? All right. Now, next verse is very important, Christy. Why? Because you're going to see how Allah was preparing for their life, how Allah would take care of them while they are asleep for years. Go ahead, Christy.
And you see the sun when it rose bending to the right of their cave, and when it is going from them on the left side, and they are in a wide space in it. This is from the signs of Allah. Whomever Allah guided, so he is guided, and whomever he leads astray, so you will not find for him a guided friend.
Allahu Akbar. See, Allah set them in the cave. The sun, of course, rises in the east and sets on the west. And they were inside the cave. And every day the sun rises, the sun sets, the sun rises, the sun sets. And Allah is guiding these people, because if Allah guided them, they will be guided. If Allah will lead them astray, for sure they will be led astray. What do we learn from that verse? This is dumb. This is dumb. Next one. Now, next one. Don't get scared, Chris. When you read next one, I don't want you to get scared now. Be cautious here and be strong. Okay, go ahead, Chris.
And you think that they were awake, but they were sleeping. And we turned them to the right and to the left. And in the entry lay their dog with paws outstretched. Had you looked at them, you would surely have turned away from them in flight, and you would have been filled with fear of them.
Ooh, Christy. Are you watching the movie now? They're sleeping, and somehow Allah sent his angels or sent somebody, because you know what happened when you're an old age, Christy, and you lay in bed? For a long time, you get what on your back? You get what? What do you call bed? What?
Oh, bed sores.
Bed sore. Thank you so much. So Allah now he puts them on the right side a little bit and the left side a little bit. That's how we know doctors and nurses learn about the care of their patient, especially the old people when you lay in bed for a long time. So they move you to the right, they move to the left. They got that knowledge from that verse of the Quran, Christy. That verse is the source of the medical field. So you can drink camel urine according to the Quran, and you also lay the patient on the right and the left. On the right, on the left. But what is scary now, the scary part is when you see the dog. They have a dog with them, Christy. So the guy, the young man who's sleeping, and the dog there, and the dog has his hand and feet. You know how you see the dog is dead, and his hand and his feet stretch up, laying his back? That's exactly what the dog was. If you see the dog, you're going to get scared and run away, frightening. Wow.
So stupid.
Wow. Next verse, Christy. Next verse.
And likewise, we raise them up, that they might ask one another. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Maybe I missed that line.
No,
we
raised right,
them up
right.
That they might ask
yes.
one another. One of them
mm-hmm.
said, how long have you stayed here? They said, we have stayed a day or part of a day. They said,
yes.
Your Lord, they said, your Lord knows best how long you have stayed. So send one of you with this, your paper, into the city. So let him see who it is has the purest food. So he will bring you a provision from it. And let him
wow.
be courteous. And let not anyone steal you.
Now, Christy, they're talking to each other. Man, they wake up. Oh. Oh, stress. Oh, man, I was so tired. That's good. They said, hey, how long have you been here? Some of a day. I don't know. We don't know. You know what? Take this money, the paper money, which, by the way, does not exist at such a time. Okay? I don't know how Muhammad come up with paper money. I need to investigate a little bit longer because it used to be silver and coin made out of metal, but not paper. But that's okay. Muhammad got smarter here. So he got paper money and go to the city to buy some food. And be careful now. You don't want anybody to feel you. Why? Because they're still thinking in their mind, Christy, that they are still under the persecution because they only slept for a day or half a day, 8 hours, uh-huh. 10 hours, 12 hours. So if they go out and the people catch them, they're going to force them to become infidel. They're going to worship Jesus as the son of Allah. And that's a no, no, no. That's why they escaped in the cave. So you go take the money and go buy some food and be careful. Not let anybody know who you are. Okay, next.
Surely if they prevail against you, they will stone you or turn you back into their religion. And then you will never prosper.
So what you're going to do is you're going to wear like some cover on your face and your head and pretend to be somebody else because you don't want to know that you are the good Christian who do not partner anything with Allah. And so you go quietly, get some food and come back. Okay, because if not, they're going to stone you. They're going to kill you. They're going to force you to become mushrikeen, polytheists. Now, next verse.
And likewise, we made their adventure known so that they might know that the promise of Allah is true and that the hour, there is no doubt of it. When they disputed among themselves concerning their affair, so they said, build a building over them. Their Lord knows best about them. Those who prevailed in the affair said, we will surely raise over them a place of worship.
Allahu Akbar. Now, when the people found out about them and they were sleeping for many, many, many years, as we're going to see in a minute here, the people start arguing with each other. What are we going to do about these people? Because obviously they died and they went back in the cave and then they want to honor them because of what's going on with this great miracle they lived in. So they, should we build like a monastery? Should we build a church? Should we build? Anyway, so they put a place of worship above them, above the place where they were buried. That's after they died. But I'm not going to understand that from the verse, because it's fun to me. Because Muslim scholars disagree what the verse actually said. I'm just giving you one of the many different interpretations. Now, let's get to the next important argument. 22, verse 22.
They will say, three, their dog is their fourth. And they say, five, their dog is their sixth. Guessing of the unseen, and they say seven, and their dog is their eighth. Say, my Lord knows best their number. No one knows them except a few. Do not dispute in them except with reference to that which appeared, and do not consult anyone about them.
Allahu Akbar. Who is this speaking here? I thought Allah is the one who's telling Muhammad the story. And there's no crookedness in it. It's pure, perfect, clear, easy to understand. The Quran completely written to be easy to understand. Why is this three and the dog is there four? Was it three? Was there five? Was it seven? How many dogs they got? One dog? Two dogs? Three dogs? I mean, how do we know? What is this, Christy? It is what I call the nonsensical of Allah and Muhammad. Because if Allah knows their number, as it says there, why can't Allah tell Muhammad how many they were? I mean, this is so stupid. Allah, the all-knowing, should tell Muhammad in the clear story, no crookedness in it. Muhammad, there were five people, and they have a dog and two cats and a man and a mouse and whatever else.
Whatever.
All right? Whatever else is in the cave. But it is so stupid that you're just reading nonsensical. Remember now, The true story is written before Muhammad. The true story, it is not a true story. It's a made-up. Muhammad heard about the story. He literally destroyed it. It's not just a counterfeit. It's a dumb counterfeit that you don't even understand the story. Can you tell me what's going on here, Christy? Can you explain to me something? What's happening here?
Not really. It's completely weird.
Completely weird. Thank you so much. Here is the perfect revelation of Allah with no crookedness in it. If that's not crooked, what is crooked?
Well, that's the whole point. He has to tell you that. It's almost like you're saying to someone who would believe this, you're saying, okay, I'm going to tell you a story. And by the way, if you don't understand it, you're stupid. Is this why people are told do not question what's in the Quran?
Okay. Now,
because you can't understand
anything. It is nonsense. The entire Quran is nonsense. Even when Muhammad copied from a fairy tale story, it's still nonsense. He ruined it because he never read the book. He heard about the story.
Now,
and he's writing the best as he can in the poetry of the Quran. Now, go ahead. Read the next couple of verses, okay?
Okay. And do not say anything, I will surely do it tomorrow, only if Allah wills. And remember your Lord when you forget and say, perhaps my Lord will guide me so that I may come near the right answer of this.
Let's stop here. Now, where did Muhammad learn verse 23 and 24? Where is this written at?
Well, it's out of the Bible, obviously.
The book of James. Do not say, I will do this unless it is if the Lord's willing. Because if the Lord's not willing, I'm not going to do it. So now, not only you copy a story from a myth book, he's copying the verses of the Bible. Now, here is the miracle now. Listen to this verse, 25. Now Allah knows. Allah does not know how many they were, but Allah knows the most important fact is how long they've been sleeping inside the cave. Go ahead.
And they abided in their cave 300 years and at night. Allah knows how long they abided.
Cave. Christy, they were in the cave 309 years. You know, from the days of Abraham, people did not live more than 150, 160, 170 years. When it comes to the days of Jesus, people lived to be 55, 60 years. If these were Christians between the days of Jesus and the day of Muhammad, they should not live more than 60 years, 70 years, maybe 80, maybe 90, maybe 100 years, Christy. I'll go for 100, okay? How in the world did they stay in the cave 309 years? Go ahead. Laugh. I know. You're in pedo. Go ahead.
You know, say, Allah knows how long they abided. To him are the unseen things of the heavens and the earth. See by him and hear. They do not have any friend other than him, and no one partners in his judgment.
Why Allah knows how long they stay in the cave, the 309 years, but Allah does not know how many they were.
Over the years, he forgot how many were there.
Oh, after 300 years, he forgot.
Yeah, Allah forgot how many were in there.
Okay. Now, keep going. 27.
And recite what had been revealed to you from the book of your Lord. No one could change his words, and you will not find a refuge other than from him.
Amen. Allah does not change his word, but in reality, ladies and gentlemen, the Quran is the repeated changed word of Allah. I mean, literally, all over the Quran, I will assure you, when we talk about the doctrine of abrogation, Allah changed his mind about a million things in the Quran. Literally, there are verses in the last chapter 9, the verse number 6 before the end. You can imagine, Allah changed his mind about all the Mecca chapters, Christy. Now, Allah changed his mind in chapter 9, verse 5. He abrogated by chapter 9, verse 6. The verse number 6 before the end, Allah canceled that verse. The whole book of the Quran is a changing of mind. Allah say, do this, and say, no, actually do that. Allah said, turn right. No, actually turn left. Allah said, eat this. No, don't eat that, but eat this. Drink this. No, don't drink this, drink that. Or pray 3 times. No, pray 5 times. I mean, literally, the Quran is what I call Allah repeated, unchanged, repeated, changed words. So everything Allah said, Allah changed his mind and give something else. So Allah literally changed his words throughout the Quran. Now, verse 28.
And let yourself be patient with those who call on their Lord at morning and evening, desiring to see his face. And do not let your eyes wander away from them, desiring the beauty of the world's life. And do not obey him whose heart we have made careless of our remembrance, and who followed his own desire, and whose affair was unbridled.
Now, Allah is speaking to Muhammad. So the story of the cave young men, the 5 or 7 or 3, who knows, one dog, we know for sure one dog, who slept for 7 years, it's over. Allah here speaking to Muhammad about being patient with the good Muslim believers who pray in Allah day and night. Okay? Do not be like the people of the world, Muhammad. Don't let the things of this world, chastise your eyes. Okay, wait a minute. I thought Allah is the one who made the world adornment to lead people astray if he want to. No, but Muhammad, this is for other people, not for you. Verse 29.
And say, the truth is from your Lord. So whoever wills, so let him believe. And whoever wills, so let him be an infidel. Surely we have prepared a fire for the unjust, whose saradik will enclose them, and if they call out, they will be relieved with water like molten metal, which will scald the faces. Evil is the drink, and evil is the place.
And by the way, the word saradiqha, that's an Arabic word. I believe that's a Coptic. Maybe I'm wrong. But it's not an Arabic word. If you want to go look at it, it's up to you.
I'm
not going to force you.
I'm looking. Hello, I'm looking.
Okay. So, but here what we have here. Okay, here what we have here is people have freedom of religion here. If you want to believe, you believe. If you want to become an infidel, become an infidel. That's nonsense. Because there's no freedom of religion in the Quran. There's no freedom of religion in Islam. See, even that verse,
right.
Allah changed his mind about. Allah abrogates this verse. And I love it, the judgment of Allah in hell when they would drink this hot drink, evil to drink. Man, it's terrible. When you have the drink, it will melt your face. It will make you really, really in pain and suffering. Do you know what the word saradiqha means, Christy?
It says an awning, so I guess that's like cover like a tent or something.
Okay. All right.
It's not Arabic.
I don't know what it means. I have no idea what it means. Anyway, I'm not... I don't know if memorize the Quran like Muslims. Awning. All right. Let's go to verse 30,
yeah.
Christine. 30, yeah.
Surely those who believed and did good deeds, surely we will not lose the wage of him who did better work.
You know, that verse is repeated throughout the Quran many times. Next verse. Christy.
Yes.
Next verse. I'm done.
Oh, okay. Well, I was waiting. Those who will have Eden's gardens, below them the rivers flow. they will adorn in it with asawar.
Asawar.
Gold.
Asawar. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Asawar of gold. And they will be
non-Arabic
dressed.
Word. Yeah.
They will be dressed
yep.
in green robes of sundus and istabak they will wear. They will be reclining there on Araika.
That's how you see. In one verse. You read five words, not Arabic words. In one verse. Okay.
Yeah. Blessed is the reward and good is
okay.
that place.
By
okay,
the way,
let me go
and
see
that
what
verse,
they are.
Yeah, and you don't have to. You don't waste your time. It's not Arabic word. It's jewelries you wear and clothes you wear, and you're going to be laying down. By the way, these are the description of the Garden of Muhammad, where the river run below it, and they have the drink, they have the food, they have the clothes. It's once again a verse repeated throughout the Quran. Do you want to? You really want to find what this word means, Christy?
Well, it's up to you, Usama. I can go look.
No, just skip it. No, I don't have to read it. Now let's go to one of the parables of Muhammad. Okay, a parable in that chapter. I didn't think we should just read the whole entire chapter. I was going to skip this portion, but I'm not going to do that. Okay, now let's listen to Muhammad. You know how Jesus always taught with parables? And his parables have a great lesson. And the great lesson of Jesus, when he said the parable, people did not ask, but the disciples asked. And he always gave the answer for the disciples who want to know what he's talking about. Now, listen to this parable here.
And give the parable of two men. To one of them we made two gardens of grapevines and surrounded them with palm trees and placed plants between them.
Keep going. Finish the whole parable.
Each of the two gardens yielded its fruit, and not anything failed in it, and we caused a river to gush forth through them. And to him there was fruit. So he said to his companion as he conversed with him, I have more money than you and mightier followers. And he entered his garden, and he was unjust to himself. He said, I do not think that this will ever perish, and I do not think that the hour is coming. And even if I be taken back to my Lord, I will surely find a better place than this. His companion said to him as he conversed with him, Do you become an infidel by him who created you from dust, then from Natfa, then fashioned you as a man? But as for me, he is Allah my Lord, and I will not partner anyone with my Lord. And were it not that if you entered your garden, said, What Allah wills, there is no might except by Allah. Though you see that I have less money and children than you, so perhaps my Lord may give to me better than your garden and will send on it by his counting judgment from the heaven so that it will become a barren wasteland, or its water will become stinking so that you are unable to seek it. And he was surrounded with his fruit, so then he remained alternating his hands over what he had spent on it, and it was empty on its trellises. And he said, Oh, I wish I had not partnered anyone with my Lord. Hold on, I got to scroll. And there was not a group to help him other than Allah, and he was not helped. Thereupon is protection from the true God, and he is best for reward and best for the final end. And give him a
Thank
parable.
You. No, don't go to another parable now. What did you understand, Christy, from what you just read?
Uh, I don't know, two guys, one had a
What is a parable? What is a parable? It's a story.
The prodigal son.
Okay. When we talk about Jesus' parable,
the prodigal son.
So the prodigal son is a man used to have two sons, and one is young and one is old. And the young tells the daddy, give me my inheritance. And he took all the inheritance, and he went away, and he spent it, and he became poor. And then he thought of himself. And you know the story of the prodigal son.
Yeah,
now, what is the parable here? What did he learn from this story?
Well, is it trying to give the same lesson? It's not doing a very good job.
It's terrible. There is not one parable in the Quran makes sense. Muhammad wrote so many parables in the Quran. God helped the Muslims to figure out what Muhammad is talking about. There's no lesson. There's no subject. There's no story.
No, you really don't know what's going on. It's like...
And that is actually one of the good ones. That is one of the best ones Muhammad has in the Quran. Okay, let's go to the next parable. Next parable, yeah.
And give them a parable of the world's life. Like water which we send down from heaven, so it mingled with the earth's plants, so it becomes dry stubble, the wind scattered of it. And Allah was mighty over all things.
Now, what did you understand from that parable?
I don't know. There's water and it dries up and blows away.
Good. 46, Kirstie, 46.
The money and the children are the adornment of the world's life, and the lasting good deeds are better reward with your Lord and better hope. And a day we will cause the mountains to walk, and you will see the earth going forth, and we gather them. So do not leave any one of them. And you will be...
Have you ever seen mountain walk?
No, I haven't. I don't expect to.
I'm not kidding you. Anyway, but that's what Muhammad said here. Okay, next verse.
And they will be shown before your Lord in ranks. Indeed, you came to us as we created you the first time, yet you claimed that we did not make an appointment for you. And the book will be placed, so you will see the criminal afraid at that which is in it, and they will say, oh, woe to us, what book is this? There was nothing small or big left out, but he counted it. And they found what they had done is present, and your Lord will not deal unjustly with anyone.
Sure. You know, Muslims believe, every Muslim believer, or every man, as a matter of fact, there's two angels, one on the right hand, one on the left hand, and in the each one of them have a book, and they write in it, the one on the right hand write all the good deeds you do, and the one on the left hand write every sin you do, every crime, every small or big. That is the idea of verse 49. Now, let's move now from the parable, from the talk, after we already covered the nonsensical of the cavemen, that's why this book is called the Book of Cave, to Adam. Ready, Christy? Now, go ahead. Tell me about Adam of Muhammad.
And when we said to the angels, worship Adam, so they worshiped, except the devil. He was from the jinn, so he transgressed from the command of his Lord. Will you then take him and his offspring as friends rather than me? And they are an enemy to you. This is an evil...
That's good. Go ahead, finish. Go ahead.
This is an evil exchange for the unjust.
Good. Allah is speaking, Christy, about the creation of Adam. Allah is the one who made Adam. And he said what? He asked the angels to worship Adam. So all the angels worship Adam except Iblis, except the devil.
And who is the devil? He was of the jinn. Now, why the devil will obey Allah concerning the worship of Adam if he's not an angel? Let me say it again. In Islam, there is human, there is angels, there is jinn. Okay, let me say it again. In Islam, there is human, Adam, there is angels, and there is jinn. Jinn were created by Allah 2,000 years before he created Adam. Which it does not make any sense because we know from the Quran that Allah created everything in 6 or 8 or 9 days. Okay? Whatever number you want. 6 or 8 is the Quran, 9 is Muhammad in the Hadith. Because he mentioned 7 days of creation, except he did not mention the creation of the heaven, which according to the Quran took 2 days, the total is 9. And anyway, why Allah get mad at Iblis, the devil, if he refused to worship Adam, since he's not an angel to start with, he was a jinn? Are you following me, Christy?
Yeah. He told the angels to worship Adam, but he didn't tell the jinn to do it.
The jinn was not asked to do it. And that's, by the way, nonsense. Nonsensical. I mean, this is foolishness. If a Muslim just open his eyes, take the glasses of Islam out and read that. Tell me, who is Adam? Oh, first man. Who is the angels? There's Allah's creatures. Who is the jinn? Another creature. Why Allah asked the angels, and even if he asked the jinn, to worship Adam? Who would say Adam to be worshipped? By the way, there's a verse in the Quran where Satan was speaking to Allah, and he said, "You deceived me. Ghawaitani, deceived me. By making me do what is right, and you punish me for doing what is right." See, Satan refused to worship Adam because he knows the right thing is to worship Allah alone. And he refused to worship Adam because that's not the right thing to do. It was like me telling you, Christy, go burn your neighbor's house. Oh, come on, you somebody. Yeah, go burn your neighbor's house. You somebody, I'm not going to do that. Why? Because that's not very nice. That's not very Christian-like. That's a crime. That is a criminal act to go and burn my... So because you refuse to obey my order to burn your neighbor's house, and I'm God now, okay? I'm going to kill you for it, Christy. I'm going to make you a demon instead of a jinn or an angel. It doesn't make any sense. But anyway, so let's move on to verse 51.
Okay. I have not made them witnesses of the creation of the heavens and the earth, nor the creation of themselves. And you were not taking those who lead astray for supporters.
What is this Allah saying? Allah created the heaven and earth. And he did not make the angels to see it? Or when he created them, he did not make them see himself? What is the point? What is the message? 52.
And a day, he will say, call on partners whom you claimed. So they called them. So they did not answer them. And we made between them a destruction.
So in the day of judgment, Allah is going to ask the people who have partner with Allah. They were worshiping Allah and their other partner. Call on your partner. Remember in the book of in the Bible, in the Old Testament, when Elisha went and the prophet of Baal, and he said, "Call on your Lord, call louder, maybe he's asleep, maybe he's taking a nap," and this man cussing himself for their god Baal to send the fire and eat the cow, and it never happened. That's the same idea here. Call on those whom you are worshiping besides Allah, and they did not answer them. Verse 53.
And the criminals saw the fire, so they thought that they would fall into it, and they did not find a place to turn away from it.
Really? Next verse, Christy.
And indeed, we have expounded in this Quran to the people from every parable, and the human was the most contentious thing.
Yeah.
I read all the parables of the Quran, Christian. I could not find one parable have a meaning or a point. How can you tell me you expounded in the Quran in many parables when not one parable have any sense? Does not make any sense. What if Allah did not expound it? What is going to tell me? He told me nothing? Because what he said is equal to nothing.
Yeah.
Next verse.
And nothing prevents people from believing when the guidance comes to them and asking forgiveness from their Lord, except that the customs of the ancients came to them, or the torment will come to them face to face.
Amen. Keep going.
And we do not send messengers except as bearers of good news and warners, and they dispute with those who became infidels with vanity to refute with it the truth. And they took my verses that they were warned of as a scoff.
Mm-hmm. Next one.
And who is more unjust than he who, when he is reminded of the verses of his Lord, so he turns away from them and forgets what his hands have wrought? Surely we made covers on their hearts that they understand it, and a deafness in their ears. And if you call them to the guidance, so they will not be guided then forever.
Well, no, don't forget, Allah said he guided whom he will and he leadeth whom he will. I mean, man does not have any chance. We don't have a choice, Christy, in Islam. If Allah will guide you to Islam, Christy, you're going to be a good Muslim lady, full hijab, marry with another three other ladies, with your husband, four wife, an unlimited number of concubines, please. Now, if Allah will not guide you, you become an infidel. You're not going to cover your face and your hair with hijab, and you'd be like American and infidel, and you're going to go to hell, like it or not. So what is the point? How can I turn away from Allah's word, from Allah's verses, if Allah choose for me not to hear it, not to understand it, not to see it, not to be guided by it? Go ahead.
And your Lord is the forgiving, the possessor of mercy. If he tormented them because of what they have earned, he would hasten the torment to them. Yet they have an appointed time. They will not find rather than an escape.
Christy, the God of Muhammad, Allah, the God of Islam, is the most unjust God. He's not forgiving. He's not possessive of mercy. Zero. If Allah will lead me to become a Christian infidel and die as a Christian infidel, to spend the eternity in hell, where is that forgiving of Allah? Where is the one who is the possessive of mercy? Where is the mercy? Where is the forgiveness of Allah? If Allah make all Christians believe that Jesus died on the cross, even though he was not on the cross, would somebody look like him? If Allah is the best deceiver, and he deceived all the Christians in the last 2,000 years, and they believe in a lie, he made it up to lead us all to hell. What kind of God is that to tell me he's merciful and forgiven and possesses as a possessor of mercy? What mercy? What forgiveness? What a dumb, cruel God Allah is.
Yeah, this is sad for Muslims. It really is.
Yeah. Now, one more verse.
And those villages we destroyed when they became unjust, and we made for its destruction an appointed time.
We're going to stop here because we're going to get to Moses and the prophet of the green next Saturday, Lord is willing. But Allah destroyed the villages. Why? Because the people in it who live in it were unjust. And if you ask the question, why the people were unjust? The answer is very simple. Because Allah made them unjust. So Allah causes people to sin so he can punish them and send them to hell.
What a wonderful God, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
forgiven,
pretty sad.
Forgiven
pretty
and
sad.
It is sick. My dear Muslim friends, we're about to move to next time. If there's any Muslim, listen to this podcast. Next Saturday, the Lord's willing, we're going to talk about Moses and we're going to talk about Alexander the Great to see about the revelation of Allah. And Chris, you know what? What I'm doing in chapter 18, trust me, I can do it to any chapter in the Quran. You choose a chapter and you start reading, and if I will read you the interpretation of Muslim scholar, you cannot help but to laugh because it's a joke. When Muslim scholars disagree about the interpretation and the meaning of every one of these verses we read today.
Yeah.
Good luck to figure out what he's talking about. Anyway. Thank you so much, Christy. It is 55. I will be nice and I'll let you talk for another minute. How about that? See how nice I am? I like to share the time with my friends,
well,
my producer.
You're so nice to share that. I just want to say, you know, for everyone out there, you know, pay attention to what's going on with your friends and family because they need to hear about the things that are going on and the love that the Lord has, because some people are getting very depressed right now, and also lots of folks battling sickness and also loss of friends. We lost a friend just a couple of days ago, and it wasn't coronavirus, by the way, and I have other friends going through medical problems, and so we need to remember those people who are grieving for a lost loved one and also those that are suffering from illness. But also, just this is a depressing time in America.
Pray for the persecution of the Christian. I just got a text message. There's an explosion take place in Makassar Catholic Church. Of course, explosion. Lots of people died. And this is welcome to Biden in the White House. I told you.
Where did
coming.
This happen? Where did this?
I just got the text message, Christy, here, and
okay.
Our time is up. But I'll be sharing a little bit more about it as I gather more information next Saturday. Christian will be persecuted, and bombs are going to go off all over the whole world because when we are weak,
Biden.
Muslims are strong, and when Muslims are strong, they don't cry for peace. Quran 47:35. Thank you so much, Christy.
Yes.
God bless you guys, and keep this country in your prayers, and hopefully. The Lord will, His will be done. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Usama. Thanks, friends,
good night,
for joining
Chris.
Us.
Appreciate
good night.
It.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity. Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. Join us each Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam.